Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning, and today we have, and we're talking casual conversation with Larissa Johnson. Hi, Larissa.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. And we also have Paula Robinson.
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you guys are welcome. Also, thank you for participating in our project called Art and Social Justice, Examining the State of Our Environment. And I invited both Paula Robinson to participate as a curator for this installation. And it's a pop-up that is at the 3619 to 3623 South State Street. And it's in the historic Overton Hygienic Building. So, Larissa, we're going to start off by, would you introduce yourself and the project that you're working on and tell us something about yourself?
Okay, so thank you for inviting me on to discuss my contributions. My name, again, is Larissa Johnson, and I am a social curator. I am formidably known as a promoter for the Chicago underground music and dance scene, and primarily have done projects stemming from art, music, dance, and culture. And my interests lie with black bodies in public spaces. So many of my events have stems from those works. Much of my photography, you'll find black people just in ordinary and everyday life existing, reading, playing, dancing with music, and just examining this the communities in which we live in. And Paula Robinson has asked me to present my creative input as a public engagement coordinator. So I've been planning activities, activating the community with black men missing black men, and putting together events to help engage the community with the state of our, in which our environment is.
Paula, well, thank you, Larissa, you know, for that intro. You know, I'm really excited that you are participating in this project. So we're going to turn to Paula. Paula, do you want to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Paula Robinson. I am a community developer. And have been working on community economic development strategies for the past 30 years, formally. Our organization, the Bronzeville Community Development Partnership, will celebrate its 30-year anniversary in 2019. So it's interesting being able to do this pop-up at the Overton. The Overton Hygienic Building is one that I've been involved with saving that building. It's a landmark building, as you know, and makes up part of what is the Black Metropolis Historic District. So the opportunity to do the pop-up and your offer was intriguing to us because this is a building that has been saved, has been preserved. I find myself working around it in a number of ways. I'm also working as a developer on a project called the Bronzeville Microgrid, where this building is even a part of that geography. And so the opportunity was intriguing from that perspective and the fact that we had you know, just sort of met up with you again on a building named for Overton with Overton High School. But this building that we're in with the Overton Hygienic is Anthony Overton as a business pioneer. And so previously with this previous pop-up, we had explored Overton from an economic development standpoint of him and his whole legacy of not only entrepreneurship and being a business pioneer in Chicago's black metropolis, but really his legacy about Negro thrift, as he calls it. And so this, for me, as a community developer, was just a challenge to look at things from the way the partnership, you know, tries to approach, and that is through cultural economic development, really recognizing that our history, our art, our culture, even our physical buildings, landmarks as assets, are part of that community economic development thrust. So there are a lot of intersections here, and your invitation gave us an opportunity to explore those intersections, and you know, I think we're still doing so.
So could either one of you talk to me about your installation, Black Men Missing, Missing Black Men, and why you chose that topic, and interesting enough, why you chose the artist that you were representing?
Well, let me address that. I chose that name, and it was kind of a derivative of something that I've had in my head for a while, kind of in my head and heart, is that I think that in terms of as much as we do with the physical brick and mortar to restore Bronzeville, now to sustain Bronzeville as a destination, a lot of placemaking is going on, but some of what is not in the rightful place, in my spirit, is the black men, the black man in his role to really have what I would call long-term community sustainability. So even though we're working with sustainability and microgrids and resilience, you know, our resilience is the resilience of the black family dynamic. And I think that what has been in my heart was a topic that, if I were to call it, it would be called We Want You Back, that the black community is missing emotionally, economically, from the black man's displacement and his lack of equity in these scenarios. And so I think that when you first presented the invitation on social justice, I wanted to find a way to communicate this sense of loss from, as I said, both emotional, equity, economic development. And so what my heart was singing is we want you back. And what came as a topic in terms of saying, you know, the state of where we are now, this environment became black men missing and missing black men. And so we do, you know, understand that that is, what do they call it, a double entendre and very much the feeling. In answer to your second question, a lot of what I do as a community developer is to build teams. In this case, from the standpoint of our cultural economic development team that worked on this project, all of the team members, particularly Larissa, as well as our lead artist, Toussaint Warner, are all artists within their own right. And so in this case, we are supporting the actual work of Toussaint Warner as our lead artist, but sort of taking a page from your book, Alpha, of looking at art as a business and looking at this whole cultural economic development as our industry, we each took on a different role to support this installation. And so, you know, as Larissa has addressed, as opposed to us featuring her art and photography, we really were dealing with her talent on activating space. And I've worked with her on a number of very challenging projects around this and thought that she would be a good person in that particular role. But as you talk to other artists involved with this installation, we are all playing different roles, you know, wearing different hats and being exposed to this as an industry and as an economic development process.
So I was looking at your, you know, your synopsis of your installation, and you talk a lot about the theme of social justice and the question, where are we now? And, you know, you really answer that, you know, for us. But in terms of the artwork that's presented in this installation, who gets to tell the Black American story? You know, and here you say that we are the cultural stakeholders of our existence, and it's extremely important that we record and tell our very unique stories. It validates and affirms our existence. So, Larissa, in your photography, can you address that and how you tell the Black American story, even though you told us in your trajectory and your introduction, but can you go a little further in your description of, you know, how you facilitate that as an artist?
Well, there's this climate or this state or this feeling nationwide and worldwide that Black men don't exist, that they are not caring, that they are not feeling, that they are not representative, that they are not viable, incredible citizens, you know, in this world, and that they're not making a place for their children and for generations to come. So my next step in this Black men, missing Black men, was to take pictures that I've been taking for over 10 years and creating images of Black men in my life and Black men that I've seen in the environment, and just showing Black men in their natural state, in public spaces, reading to their children, playing in parks, playing instruments with their grandchildren, just showing the natural feeling. I mean, there's this, that there, to me, enough of these images are not displayed worldwide to show our existence, to tell our story, to tell our very unique stories. And I think that pictures, they tend to tell a story without being spoken. So I think that more of these images need to be placed, maybe in our parks, maybe on the streets, maybe as billboards. And I know that there are certain artists whose photography and art are being displayed in different communities like Inglewood. But I believe that if our communities, especially the communities that are threatened, see more of these images, it will change the way we see ourselves, you know, locally, nationally, and throughout the world. So that's what I try to do. I try to paint positive pictures of Black and melanated people for the world to see.
Okay, then, I mean, I really applaud you for the work that you're doing, because then I always kind of feel like it's our social responsibility as artists to record history. And that's why the Phantom Gallery jumped at this opportunity that was given to us by Lauren Laurie, which is the realtor for this project. And Lauren is a commercial realtor. I'm not doing an ad for her, but I'm just saying that in turn, she runs her own archive, that she is a foundation. So it was important for her to say, hey, Alpha, here's this space. Can you activate it? I didn't activate it as an artist. That's why I chose, or maybe the people that came to me when I mentioned it and said, hey, I'll do this. I want to do this. And this building, mind you, is on 100 years old. It's on the historic registry, like Paula was saying. And the inside is basically gutted out, and it's ready for who the new people or the tenants that will come in, and they have to actually build it out. So So it was a prime, I saw it as a prime opportunity. Hey, this is a great space. We don't have heat. We have light. We have electricity. But I just saw what happened with all of the curators that just jumped right in and say, hey, we want to do this. And we don't, the doors are open when we're there. And I don't think that for me, the importance of getting a huge crowd in, but I kind of validate the project and the process and archiving what each artist is doing in terms of examining the state of our environment. And for the night that we had the panel discussion, I want to talk a little bit about that, and because that's the public engagement piece, and you facilitated that piece. So I'll go back to Paula so that Paula can kind of come in on the conversation, because she was one of the panelists that presented.
Not only has this opened up, you know, the use of space, again, that likens even more to what I'm doing as a community developer, but, you know, other our community development agencies have now started working more closely with the city, even on the concept of the vendors or artists having a pop-up license and for building owners to know what's involved in having a pop-up. So from a real estate development, and again, these are these intersections between what we're talking about, you know, cultural products and our whole cultural economic development strategy. So the city of Chicago, as a matter of fact, just coming up next week, is a whole series of sessions on looking at these spaces and recognizing, okay, I've seen this. Maybe someone came to our event interested in knowing about the next one. I mean, you've been involved, obviously, even in some of the things that are going on in Chicago, Detroit, other places are doing things with artists and designers like boom boxes or, you know, other crafts and cultural products. Where these are shipping containers. In this case, this was a historic building that had vacant space, and a realtor that saw the opportunity to activate the space. As I said, working with Larissa, we've done some outdoor activations of just things like outdoor gathering spaces, or, you know, where she's historically done things in the parks. And so I think that really recognizing that those boundaries, whether it's, you know, four walls, a container, or, you know, sort of trees as your curtain, this is something that we've actually always done historically. And I think that now, you know, we're recognizing the artist again as a change agent. I think that for us, not only, you know, again, when you first talked about this topic of social justice, and I said, I don't know if I do social justice. And you said, Paula, that's what you do all the time. You may not call it that. So I think that's also about this framing, you know, this part of this placemaking and how we see ourselves. And I think it's going to have an impact on what we talk about, even in terms of how the Black man sees himself. And some of that comes with recognizing how people see you, appreciate you, want you back, missing you. I mean, so we utilize this theme, and even in other, you know, this could play out very differently in another part of the city, in another venue, another, you know, set of art opportunities with the same name or a different name. I think, you know, each one of our artists, I had the opportunity to sort of pull this team together and curate in that role. But each one of our artists would probably take the same theme and handle it very differently than maybe what Toussaint did. Because I think Toussaint's growth in this was that he sees himself as a very strong graphic designer from a family of photographers. I had just admired some work that I kept seeing him share on Facebook and said, I want you to present this as our lead artist. He wasn't necessarily seeing himself as a lead or fine artist. He's seeing himself as He said, "What are you talking about? Those the things that I designed just for myself, for my own, that I'm just doing and sharing." And I, they were very visual to me, very colorful, stayed in my head. I'm not sure if I recognized until actually when he began to frame them, you know, now print, frame, and, you know, and literally hang them for exhibition. I realized, oh, all of these actually are part of a series that he's been doing informally, like a stamp series, and they almost are all about men. They're black iconic figures. I don't even know instinctively or intrinsically if I had recognized that. It was just something about them that spoke to us. And he's, you know, for this exhibition, he put out like, I think he framed four or five of them. Now I'm interested in really seeing even more of the series and where it's going. And there were some things that we didn't get to. This was just a 30-day opening. And so we also saw a preview of some very large pieces that he has. And so, you know, we may continue, or maybe someone else within our team that works on, you know, a next installation, hopefully with Phantom Gallery in another location perhaps.
Well, with that, Paul, I'm glad you're talking about that because initially, I mean, we all need to talk about we had challenges with these installations for first-time people coming in. I've been doing pop-up Phantom Galleries for over 25 years, part of the time in California, in Sacramento, during the Phantom Galleries there. And here in Chicago, Phantom Galleries has been around since 2007 with the New Communities Program as one of our main sponsors. With that, he had challenges when we came into the space, and you guys had really wanted to do the outside of the building where the windows were boarded up. And we have so many boarded up buildings in our commercial corridors that I thought this was a terrific idea for that you envisioned to take those full color graphic design posters and actually install them on the exterior boarded windows of the space. And that didn't happen because, you know, these projects are cost shared. You know, the Phantom Gallery provides exhibition space. I broker the deals with the realtor and finance the insurance to cover the liability for us to be in a space. And I do these types of engagements of archiving our processes, meaning I blog about them, I art slant about them, and then I do the online blog talk. So our bottom lines here are real minimum in terms of the funding that comes in for these projects. And I would like to see the second part two or continuation of the examination where when the funding does come in that these graphic designs and posters are actually printed and boarded and used throughout the commercial districts. And with that, I'm saying, you know, there's SSA funding, special service area funding, you know, to, for these storefronts that, you know, proposals can go into, you know, the SSA and to say, hey, this is a great project. This is a great way to board up some of these, you know, to beautify and also bring our social justice message to a larger, broader audience. I'm just kind of envisioning that, dreaming that up and put it into fruition for the next go around. We have like 5 kind of minutes left on our interview, and I wanted to cover, you know, what is it like to unanticipated impacts of this project? Either one of you could take this question.
Unanticipated impact?
Yeah, of this project. Because I know you were trying to do the...
Well, sometimes, you know, you run into people who really don't understand the message. They're interested in the actual art idea, but not necessarily the meat and bones of it. I had a letter writing exercise, and I know it was cold that day, it was challenging, and not too many people really wanted to write a letter, you know, something encouraging. I'm thinking that maybe I could have, you know, stencils, you know, maybe it could be something that's actually written on the walls as opposed to letter writing. It could be one, like a one word and maybe a two word phrase written on the wall as opposed to letter writing. I'm hoping that answers your question.
Well, I just think that I'd like to take it the next step because we're so engaged in our social media practices that on our reviews even, on our walls, on the blogs, that people send those letters in so that there's a continuum of the conversation. It was very challenging because the winter set in. We knew going into space that we're entering the fall and that the temperatures drop and our audience development drops. We, meaning the Brownsville Art District, has a high public engagement piece with our trolley tours and things that go on during the summer months. But in reality, we know programming is very difficult in the winter months when it's freezing cold and people coming out to spaces that are off the beaten path.
Yes.
And I'd like to... you know, maybe address that from a different perspective. We are, I think that we started a large conversation, not one that has not been going on. You know, we're also having some real, it's interesting because even the conversation about Black men missing fell in, and I'm experiencing it right now, this weekend, as a matter of fact,
yes.
on Facebook,
yes.
where it's become kind of a gender discussion. And so the last thing we want to do is to have this separation. You know, we have enough separation with our community and our youth, Black men and Black women. This was not about to create more of that, but it has created that dialogue online. I was having one online this weekend that I started to go in and, you know, sort of hide my comments or, you know, wish I hadn't responded. But I'm recognizing that, you know, there is that impact of where you may have wanted to have a conversation about this, like we're going to write letters, we're going to whatever.
Yes.
So there is writing going on. It's not necessarily come and write a letter and put it on the wall. People did not, you know, whether we can say time or whatever. So writing is going on. There's an impact even in our Facebook dialogue on some radio deal. I'm hearing even this almost like a comment, like folks have said, you know, you were talking about something and so yeah, well, Black men missing. It's like, okay, yeah, that's what you've been saying. And so the conversation started. The other thing that, to your point, there are dollars there for us to explore some of this larger. We needed to have more time. We did get some support from IT, from our alderman in our community, Alderman Pat Dow, the Illinois Institute of Technology, the Community Affairs Office, and also the Woods Foundation, who deals more with these things on social justice. At the point that they were able to kind of rev up and say, okay, you're trying to do some things and you need out-of-pocket expenses, we were able to get some contributions that will at least cover those costs of what, you know, Toussaint needed to do to, you know, print and frame these things. For us to now look at this full budget, you know, the opportunity does exist, not only through the SSA, but and stations like where we search. So we were searching in the right place.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery.
Thanks,
Chicago
Paula,
Network,
and we're continuing this conversation
the non-traditional gallery
on our next
gallery.
Episode
the Phantom
of
Gallery
Talks at
Radio,
how the city
creative conversation,
art
and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.